Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for January 16th, 2023. Beth is a lawyer, cash flow cat, and she's also an artist and actor as well. And here's what you wrote. An attorney I do some writing for is out of the office because of an injury. I believe she wants me to take responsibility for her cases, but I don't want to. I've advised her to hire an associate. I can't handle her cases and mine. I previously made a decision not to do federal court cases for her because she doesn't participate and leaves me with the burden. I've agreed to temporarily co-counsel with another colleague of ours on her federal appeals. It's too hard to co-pilot when no one's in the driver's seat and I have my own car that's stalling because of her needs. Understandable. So what is your question for me?
You know, I'm kind of going for full circle because before I said I'm not going to do federal court and she's asking me in a certain case to still do a federal court case for her. And then, so what I did is I had to step back and examine, well, what were the reasons? One is she didn't really participate and left me with the whole burden. And that's something that usually is done in teams. So there's another attorney who I used to write for who, you know, she leaves me with the initial writing, but at least she gives feedback and, mm-hmm. and she stays up with the cases and she would participate. So I told this person who is out for an injury that, okay, I'm willing to co-counsel with this other person to do this. And that's sort of, that's a temporary solution. You know, and I'm also having a sort of a cash flow problem here where with my extraordinary ability cases, I have one client, it's my major client, and I realized that what I need to do is give them a statement for 2022 because I haven't always been clear because I've invoiced for two cases and they haven't paid and keep having questions. So I've got to give that. And then this other firm I write for, they owe me a lot of money and I keep emailing their payment people and they don't respond. Mm-hmm. So I realized another reason why I kept working for this person was, well, she would regularly pay me and it was easy because we were friends. She would sell money into my account when things like this happened and my other clients hadn't paid.
Right. Okay. So there's two things here. One is, what can possibly be put in place so that the payments that you're due come to you and then come to you quicker?
I mean, honestly, I don't really know what else to do. I invoice. Mm-hmm. I really don't know what else I can do except invoice and communicate clearly.
Yeah. And the person that you've emailed a couple times, have you called them?
Well, I could try calling. I mean, what happened is I got some kind of vague response during the holidays is, mm-hmm. well, I've processed everything that was in my inbox. And, you know, based on that information, she should have processed my invoice. Mm-hmm. But I've emailed back twice since then and haven't gotten any response. Now, could I try calling? I could.
Okay. Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Because if you keep following up with the same mode of communication,
yeah,
whatever's happening with that mode of communication can just happen again and again and again. So yeah. It's good to switch modes, writing a letter, calling on the phone.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, they always do eventually pay. And I understand that everybody got slowed down with the holidays. And mm-hmm. this has been a pattern for me every single year. Around the holidays, my income is really slow because people who are out, you know, doing whatever for the few weeks before January, things don't get done.
Okay. But it sounds like you are pretty confident the money will come from these.
Yeah, I mean, they're both responsible people who've paid me in the past. And then I just had another discussion with another client who I've worked for before, another owner of another club. And, you know, he was trying to argue my fees down, which a lot of people from this part of the world do. And I said, no, I have to charge this fee and this is why. But if we do a renewal or a permanent case, I can give a discount and this is why. Mm-hmm. So I was firm about that. And I'm proud of myself for doing that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And it's never a problem if someone asks. You don't have to feel weird about someone asking. They're just trying to see how immovable you are.
Right. And then the other thing, though, is because I was jumping to help this person who I wrote this thing about and other people, I put off some of the cases for the nice clients who weren't aggressive. So one guy, I filed his case pretty late. And I said, okay, look, when you pay the balance of the case, I will use that money to turn around and pay the expedite fee myself. And I just felt like in this case, I wanted to do it to establish goodwill, but I want to get over that pattern where I'm cutting off my own foot because I've been too nice to other people.
Yeah. This is really about the priorities. And a question, what you had said earlier is, I had originally said no to this type of work. And now I put some things in place that would allow me to say yes to doing.
Well, yeah, basically work. I had to think about, well, why did I say no? It just,
no, I understood that.
You know, totally. You understood why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you want to say no?
Well, I want to say I can't always prioritize your work. I said I have to prioritize. I'm not saying never, but I have to prioritize. Uh-huh. The thing about this type of case is when you do have a work crunch, the federal court's really good about granting time extensions. So I can work it out so that I can do that and do other things because we haven't even filed the case in federal court yet. And normally there's a long period before you have to actually write the brief.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me that you have a pretty good head and handle on why you're making certain choices, and the slowing down of the cash flow is something that, you know, it happens every year, it sounds like. So it's not a surprise. And it's not necessarily something it sounds like you need to or want to put things in place to change that in any way. So,
I mean, the one thing I do think I have to do for the year is much clearer client communication and much more frequent billing statements, because I haven't really been communicating as clearly as I should. And my fee agreement actually says I'll produce statements every 30 days, and I haven't been doing that. So I should do that.
Yes. Because the reason, yes, to that, you want to make it easy for people to pay you, and you want to honor yourself in this cash flow process.
Right. But in order to do process, that, I also have to do better calendaring of deadlines and priorities. I can't put off one person's case because somebody else is screaming and demanding something of me.
Absolutely.
That's got to change.
Yes. You can't prioritize based on who's yelling the loudest.
Right.
You'll lose your best clients. Your best clients exactly. Are the people who pay and aren't off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's my concern. I realize I don't want to do that.
And I'm wondering if there might be something, this might be linked to something in your past where you've been conditioned to respond when someone's really laying the pressure on you. And so it might be unwinding from that, but you don't actually have to go back and excavate the past. You just, it's about making a commitment of like, I am going to prioritize the stuff I want to do, the stuff that pays me best, and the clients that I want to work with, because that signals to the universe or source or whatever, but it gives off a signal of this is what I want more of.
Right. Instead of saying, well, this person has needs, therefore I have to not take care of myself, because why should I? And the reason is she wants to save money and doesn't want to pay her own associate. But why should that be my problem?
It is not your problem. It actually isn't your problem. You're taking it on, but it's not your problem. Her business is not your problem. And her having a gap in it that she wants you to fill, that's also not your problem. You can do the work for money if you want to. But it sounds to me, Beth, like you're making really good choices and you really do see what adjustments would serve you better.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I have to say, I felt really imposed upon, but I had a friend call from LA telling me she wanted to come to take a vacation in Atlanta. I thought, oh no, I love this work. How am I going to do this? And taking a few days off actually helped me to clear my mind. So I'm realizing the importance of taking vacation time.
Yes. And based off our last session conversation, did you pick a week?
Well, I didn't know. Well, what happened was she said she was coming for New Year's week. And she came. I haven't picked a week for the future yet, but
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, because it's kind of a complicated thing. I'm in this thing with this timeshare where I have to pay fees. And once I pay the fees, I'll have the ability to book. And I don't want to throw away the money I've already spent. I want to use that, but I can't actually book until I pay the fee. So I'm going to use that as a guide. But I also have a conference that I'm trying to attend in New York in March. And it's sort of a vacation. It's like a working vacation.
Well, could you tack on an extra?
Well, New York's so expensive. But what I might do is the weekend, there's a weekend between the 2 weeks of the conference when I could do some things there locally. I actually discovered a cousin I had never met on Ancestry.com who lives in New York. So I could meet her and could do
something. If you want to, that sounds like fun. But you also don't have to stay in the city. You could also go take a train out of the city.
I mean, I could, but without anybody to hang out with, I'm not sure I want to. I mean, I have one friend from graduate school who teaches at West Point. Maybe I could arrange to see her, but I don't really have anybody. I mean, I could maybe invite a friend to meet me for the weekend. Maybe my brother had talked about wanting to go into New York and see Broadway shows. Maybe if I get a hotel, he could come for the weekend.
Okay, cool. Cool. But I like how you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yes. I love having you in the group, Beth.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yes. I feel I do spin around in circles, but I feel like I'm slowly spinning straighter.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a really, I mean, we all do that. It's not linear. Yeah. It's coming around and coming around, but each time you come around, I want to reflect this back to you. Each time you come around, it's with more awareness, more understanding, more clarity around your priorities and what's important to you. I'm hearing that. So good work. That's all we can ask.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining. And I'm going to move on. It's Stephen next, and then Liz, and then the floor will be open. If you have questions, just raise your hand so we can, so I can budget our time. Stephen is a cash flow cat, hypnotherapist, among other talents. So you had two questions, but first the victory. He officially got his diploma and other potential clients. Congratulations. That's a tremendous amount of work.
It was interesting to get it because I essentially graduated like a while ago, but they're like, hey, I'll send you a diploma now. It's really like lackluster, but I'm like, where's my
support?
But it's okay, because I'm like, okay, I'll just take it. Enjoy it. So anyway, that's a victory.
All right. Yes. And we will start with this question, getting an office space where you can interact with people. Other people's energy keeps you thriving and keeps you focused, and your garage Zoom room office flooded. And now you need a full-time office. So suggestions. Sorry to hear about the flooding.
Yeah, I took a picture of it a while ago. Mm-hmm. So when I was traveling, people think I'm still there. And now it's, you know, this is my green screen thing.
Yeah. And so aside from the like the interaction with people and that energy aside, you looks like you have a functioning ability to still do Zoom where you're at, right?
Yeah, I am. I had to race up back to our bedroom, and after a year of being out, I'm here, but this is not what I want to be doing right now. I don't want to roll out of bed right into my computer. I mean, it's everything unhealthy for the mind to be able to sleep next to your work. Mm-hmm. And having all these blue screens around me. So either way, though, I mean, the time was, it was very clear that I needed to move out, because, I mean, even though all my sessions are Zoom for therapy, I do want to have in-person clients. I mean, I start having more potential LA clients.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. It was good for school, like, you know, but now that I've had, you know, a nice handful of clients, I need to get out. Okay. I start getting distracted with all the other things I want to do.
So as far as suggestions, I definitely, it's sort of like finding the Venn diagram overlap between what you can afford, what is close to you, so you have like zero to nothing commute as much as possible, because that will help with the cost. And then what is the minimum amount of space that you need? And then is there any out of the box solutions for what you need? It's sort of like back in the day when you were renting the office that was in that other lawyer's office. It wasn't like you just went and got your own office, but there was this piece of this office that you could kind of squirrel away in, and that served your needs. Like that was.
Do you remember that? Okay.
So it's really about what can you afford? Where's the closest place to you? What's the minimum amount, you know, of space that you need? And then is there any outside the box solutions to that?
I'll share with you what I found so far, but the reason why I wanted to bring it to you, brainstorm ideas here, is there are a lot of therapists who are renting out their offices because so many go on to Zoom and they still have their offices, so they want to sublease. Mm-hmm. Sublet. So there is a couple websites like ustherapy.com and psychoffice.com. What's great about them is they're already set up. Mm-hmm. Have a couch there, the chair there. And for the most part, have the ideals in subletting. There was one I found, but the hours were just not conducive. It was up until 11 a.m. and then gone the whole day, and then I can have evening hours, and that's just
right.
What am I do the rest of the day? It's like no, they don't work out. But then there's also though the prices, you know, we're talking $500 a month, $800 a month, not ideal. However, there is a place that's like has the WeWork kind of model, but for therapists. I'm getting a tour on Friday. Essentially, it's an office complex of like 8 therapy rooms. And they have a lounge. And you pay $60 a month. And you could, whenever you have a session, you pay $25 for the room. And then the rest of the time you hang out in the lounge. And they have Wi-Fi and stuff. The lounge is kind of small. It's like just 2 tables. And I asked the guy, I said, how much time can people sit there? And he'd say, unlimited. So, well, I mean, I am able to do everything from my laptop. I invested a lot in this laptop. So I can do that. I mean, it seems like as a temporary measure, because I know that people kind of roaming around a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not the ultimate thing.
You mean to have your Zoom sessions in the lounge?
I would do my Zoom sessions actually in an office.
Okay. But just your regular work. In the lounge.
Regular work, I'd be sitting at a, you know, little lounge area. Mm-hmm. Which is designed for idea between sessions, go there instead of going back and forth to your home, whatever. And it is very close. I could ride my bike there, which would be nice.
Oh, great.
So it fits those models. I haven't once I see it, I'll have a better feeling for it. But it's ultimately not what I want. Originally, when
it
I went to
school, checks a lot of the boxes.
It does. When I went to school, I really wanted to basically create a practice and many different modalities, and you know, from the very far left to you know, mediums and crystal workers to the very far right within the system, yeah. Like NLP people who are business geared and coaching, because I kind of fall a little bit in the middle-ish, going more towards the, you know, the coaching and empowerment. But there's that consortium idea that I want to be a part of, because I feel part of a team. I thrive when I'm with a team. I'm by myself all the time. I just start to wither away like an old flower. So I wasn't sure if you had any other ideas or thoughts. I know that you are comfortable with your office where you're at home. That's worked for you. For me, it's...
Have you looked around for teams that are missing your component? Because instead of creating it for yourself, you could maybe just for a while join something that's already in process.
It's a good idea. I've always been a little hesitant.
Chiropractors, because I know like chiropractors often have like masseuses who work out of their office. Like, you know, it's all in their clients kind of share, because it's all sort of the same thing.
Yeah, I haven't, people presented that to me, but I haven't really, as an idea, I haven't really looked for it per se. But it's a good idea. I'm just not quite sure where to look. Just start looking up every single alternative place. I feel like I'm competing with certain people, and the more therapy stricter, like more like, well, what's hypnotherapy?
Yeah, I don't think you would join like another therapist unless you worked kind of under them, but they usually have the same therapists who do the same kind of therapy.
Right.
But I would start, the way I would start looking for this is first I'd look who is closest, who are the different types of modalities closest to you that have offices that also maybe on their website list multiple, like even one other type of modality in their office, offered in their office.
Okay.
And then, so if I found a, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but if I found a chiropractor who also listed on their masseuse, oh, we have Susan who does massages, so you can certainly book with her and she works out of our office. I would call Susan and say, hi, so what's your deal with the chiropractor? Like, how did that happen? And then if that sounds interesting and like he might be open, you can just introduce yourself to him and say, hey, I see that you have Susan doing this, your clients, especially because people can't go to like chiropractors and stuff for repetitive things or repetitive tensions or repetitive thing, you know, and that might be also something you could help unloosen in them, you know, or just whatever. But I would do it location wise, since cost is such a thing, you just don't want a commute. If you can cut out a commute or a bike commute, you know, like that's where you'd want. So somebody might be open to it.
Okay.
And basically, you know, that would give you some a space to use. I don't know, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to fall into place, but that's not to say it's impossible if you really would like to be part of a team.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I'll definitely,
especially if you have it in your head that one day you would like to put together your stellium of practitioners, going and experimenting with other situations where you're not the leader, will teach you a lot about, well, I don't want to do it like that. Oh, I'm going to do it like this. It gives you a lot of clarity of what you want and like and don't like. I would structure it this way. Oh, we need a system for the money this way. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
And any kind of outreach you do regarding, even if it turns out, oh, I wouldn't be a good match with this person, they now know about you. They now could refer clients if they wanted to. So it's all networking related anyway for referral sources.
True.
And then you might find somebody you kind of click with.
Okay. Yeah. I like the idea.
Yeah. Raquel, do you have a suggestion?
It's a it's a suggestion. Hi, Stephen. Hi. I'm Raquel. Based on experience with a therapist that I have, just FYI, if you're going to share space, you want to be sure that the space that you have when you're having clients is solely yours. When I first started with that particular therapist, he like had an hour and then he'd have to go out and then he had another hour, and it got really uncomfortable for him as well as for his clients, because you're competing with other people for that same private room. So the only thing I would avoid is that, is make sure that whatever space you have when you're seeing clients is the private space. And then if you're in the lounge, like you're talking about, makes me think of those new, the new ideas of workspace, where it's shared workspace. You get your office and then you're in the lounge, you know, for coffee or for brainstorming or things like that. Just make sure that that room is yours solely, so you're not competing for hours and things. I hope that's helpful.
No, it is. And when you say they're competing for hours, you think because they had to get out of there, so no one person was
right. So he would have the morning hours, and then there would be somebody in the midday, and then he would have evening hours. And sometimes it would confuse clients, and sometimes, you know, they'd be late getting out, and then you'd have to wait, and your client would have to wait. And that's when he pretty much decided, let me not do it that way anymore. So that's just one little tidbit of when you're sharing that that space is solely yours, even if it's just 4 hours a day, for example, or all day.
Well, that raises, you raise a very good point and consider, because my clients do go over and I do go over my hour. And if I do, I'm leading to possible mistakes. Ah, that's a good point. Or if they're late, that could be the biggest challenge.
Also, anyway. I hope it's helpful.
No, I appreciate you. And I did not consider that as a scenario.
And I just want to say that you can also mitigate that on your end. Have a longer session, like standard, so you never go over. And if someone's late, the clock starts ticking. Like, even if, you know, because if you have another client after them bumping everybody, you just say, you know, right, this is your hour and we'll use as much of it as you're present for. So you can have boundaries on your end that help mitigate the overages. Just, I'm just saying, I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. But yeah, you're thinking along the right lines with this. And the other thing is, if you find a location and a situation that is like, oh, this is really ideal, but I can only have the hours up here and down here, that might be okay just to start with. Since, you know, if you don't have a huge practice, you might be able to just squeeze the clients you have and just get that ball rolling of like, I have a space. These are the hours I work. This is the hours I work. You know?
And I can be okay with that. That other place was so perfect, but it just being gone from 11 to 5 in the middle of the day, not being able to be in that office, that was like, okay, I can't do that. Because I'm just, those are my networking hours. Those are my admin hours.
But you could go to another location that would allow you to do that work.
You could. The library is across the way. Santa Monica Library is right across the way.
Yeah. Like, you have two offices. You have your admin space and you have your working with client space. At this point in time, it's about as cheap as possible and just making it work. So your clients are having the best experience, so they'll tell people, and you're being able to, you know, have a nice space in which to do the admin and networking and that kind of stuff. It might be weird at first, not weird, but not ideal.
Right. Okay.
So, next question. But I like the way you're thinking. You're thinking along the right lines. You're going to find something, and just keep yourself open to it not looking ideal. It could be a little outside the box for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And now you asked about having the perfect website. You already have a website, but you want to revamp it. Do videos, Instagram reels. I don't really want to do any of it, but I'm getting mixed signals from others if I should do it or not. All my clients have been from referrals from networking events and other clients. What should I focus on for marketing? Okay. If you're going to revamp your website, just as small as possible. It needs to look nice. It needs to not scare anybody away.
Right.
But it doesn't, your website isn't what gets you clients. Your website, people check you out to make sure you're not crazy. So your website needs to look not crazy. That's what your website needs to be, not crazy. So as long as it clears that bar, that's not the most important thing for you to be doing. Because if you're getting clients from other sources, go to those other sources rather, because websites are always works in progress. They're never like done. You'll always want to change something. Somebody always has something better. You can always envision a different way of doing it, but the non-perfect website usually doesn't interfere with your business as much as you might think it would. That's my thoughts on websites. But let me ask you a question. The clients that you've had so far, who are they and what have been their issues? Are they business people? Who are they and what problems are you solving?
Yeah, well, they usually come to me, a few came as pro bonos from the actual school, and then I'm converting them into paying clients.
But are they business people? Are they older? Like, who are they?
Half are like seniors and the other half are younger, maybe more like in their 40s, they're professionals of some kind. A couple of them are out of work, just trying to figure out what their next move is, and they have money saved so they can do this. And a couple are now, they're creatives and they have writer's block and they're trying to figure out how to get through. So I'm working with a lot of anxiety. Just feeling stuck is the big one, you know, personal empowerment, sleep. I have one weight loss client, which is more of an experiment because I don't want to do weight loss. It's a lot of work on my end.
I'm wondering if I can't say for sure, but I'm wondering if LinkedIn shouldn't be your platform. Because you have all,
If it shouldn't be or if it should be.
It should. If like all in on LinkedIn. Because here's a bunch of people who have anxiety, who are stuck in jobs, stuck getting jobs, who are anxious about where they're at or where they're going. It's just a ball of the issues that you can help people with. And it's a website that's job oriented, meaning most of the people either will have some money or be making money or trying to make money, they're all investing in themselves because you can't really work in the world today without also investing in yourself. And you need clients who have a motivation and income to invest in themselves on a non, you know, needs item. And LinkedIn, you can use videos, you can use text, you can write articles, there's even like sub platforms within LinkedIn that you can publish on. It's like, I'm wondering if that might not be one place where you could put your time and energy into that would actually reap some sort of reward client wise and even networking wise for other practitioners versus an Instagram or a TikTok or a Facebook or a YouTube?
Right.
I'm just wondering. And I would rather, when you have an aversion to social media, it's like, oh my God, not my favorite thing to do. I think it's better to find the platform that offers you and can connect you with potential clients the best and really learn how to use that one platform.
Okay.
And you can keep a presence on Instagram if you want to. And some things you make for LinkedIn, you can just throw up there and then have that, you know, I'm on Instagram. It's just, Instagram's like another website. It's just where people can find you and check you out to make sure you're not crazy.
Well, yeah, well, it seems it's also one of the biggest advertising platforms now. It's doing those 15-second reels on Instagram. But I think that I'm attracting like younger people in that way, but I don't really want to. I have some millennials.
Okay.
I guess I have an aversion to LinkedIn a little bit because it feels just so corporate. I'm also seem like I'm competing with a lot of other NLP people. And okay. I am a practitioner in NLP now. Which is good. I'm happy about that.
But I would then, if you're not, and there's not right or wrong, if you're not attracted to LinkedIn, then just do Instagram. Just do Instagram and then see what happens. See what you can, what your efforts there bring forth.
Okay. So just stick to one social media platform and don't feel like I'm all over the place.
No, because if you don't like it, it's going to be very difficult for you to keep a presence everywhere. Right. Instead of like, here's where you can find me.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's helpful. So my website, you say, don't focus too much on, it's just all words. It was created by the school offers some guy who just says, hey, just get started. We have all the words. It's a blanket template. He sets it up, blah, blah. And I wasn't going to do it, but I'm like, you know what? I was getting clients in the middle while I was in school. I'm like, I need something up there that isn't my old bio now business. So to me, it looks really cheesy and blah, blah, and just, but it says everything you're supposed to say. It's just a lot of words.
You know, you can give yourself 4 days to zhuzh it up a little bit. I'm not saying you can't carve that time out and dedicate it to it. But it doesn't need to be as ginormous. I don't want it to be an expensive, ginormous project because it's not worth that. It's worth having something you feel good about. Yeah. But really, it's sort of like, why am I going to your website? Oh, this is who you are. This is what you offer. This is how I can contact you. Here's how much you charge. Answer those questions. One page. Boom. Just one page. You know, I'm just saying it doesn't have to, you can build things out later. But really, it's just like, who's this guy? How can I get in contact with him?
Right. And then maybe have a video.
Sure. Videos are nice. Gives me a sense of your feel and what you're up about and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful. I like your idea to stick to one social media platform and just stick with that.
And be, because you have to be consistent. Not constant, but consistent. So pick a platform, be consistent, decide what you're going to do, what you can handle. And do it for 6 months and see what happens.
Okay.
Like reevaluate after 6 months.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Raquel, for contributing too. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good. Good. Keep coming back. And we'll keep building this out.
Thanks.
Good to see you, Steve. Liz. Liz is a cash flow tiger. She's a dialect coach. Listen to these victories. Last week was huge for me as an actor. I coached for an audition with an Australian accent, got a call back for the lead, still waiting to hear back on the final casting. I gave a 3-hour workshop on North Carolina and Southern US accents to 40 actors in the musical Bright Star. And 3 people from the cast asked if I might want to collaborate on other projects. I spent time on the phone with someone from Leslie Kahn and Company discussing workshop options for May. She's getting back to me later today. And I saw a Facebook post about an on-set dialect coaching gig with an actor on a Nigerian accent. I saw the post 2 days after it was posted. At least a dozen other people had already responded, and I didn't think they'd even responded to them. And I got it. I spent 2 days on set coaching for a short film, which will show off the new tech available from this film company, and they're hoping it will lead to bigger projects. The whole time, I felt a strong sense of imposter syndrome. My first time on set as a coach, the actor I was working with was not off book and kept falling out of the accent. It wasn't perfect, but the production team members were thrilled with my work. They told me my resume was far and above the best they received and that they want to work with me again. The actor I coached said he'd be interested in classes from me. I learned a lot about what I will and will not do going forward, mainly to embrace the improv concept of yes and rather than my perfectionistic not until. Feeling hopeful and empowered. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for sharing. Oh my gosh, Liz.
This is huge. So
this is huge. Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have a question for me, which we will get to, but I have a question for you. Can you identify what caused this massive shift of energy for you? Do you have anything?
Yeah, a few things.
Yeah.
So we've talked before about how I've struggled with ADHD, and I went to the doctor to get some medication and had a really bad reaction. But he told me he thought my bigger issue was perfectionism. And so I can see that. And I was able to see that in motion with this whole thing. Mm. So it felt like I couldn't pay attention, or I got behind, or I was handing things in late my whole life. And so it just feels like I need to make up for that by doing it extra perfectly. And I just knew they weren't going to call me for this gig because I saw the names of other people on there. So it was a local thing, but this company's been working with, because I'm in Utah, but they've been working with LA companies and big stuff. And so I thought, they're not going to pay my rate here. Nobody does. And so I was like, it's going to take me some work. I haven't done Nigerian forever. So I was like, I'll just put this high rate. And I saw a bunch of the names of the other dialect coaches, and they were college professors around here that teach voice and speech. And they contacted me, and I know I was charging at least triple what these other people were quoting them. And it taught me a lesson that I look professional when I charge a higher rate, and I don't need to keep proving myself, which I think has been my thing my whole life. It's like, the grade I'm getting in this class is not right. So I'm just going to withdraw because I haven't been able to focus and pay attention. And the C you're giving me isn't reflective of my skill in this. And I would withdraw and feel really anxious. And that went through when I was told I have anxiety, and then it was ADHD. And now I feel like I've hit the real thing where it's like, this is perfectionism. So I made this whole list of mantra words I'd like to have for this year. And I narrowed it down. And I think the things I'm going to say are yes and, simplify, and receive with gratitude. I think in my mind, someone very wise once said to me that I need to learn to receive the things given to me. And I think I looked at that as learn to deal with what's handed to you instead of receiving the things that are good, that allow me to show my talents and express those things. So yeah, I don't know. This has been a stressful week. I took a little side job during Christmas at a toy store, and they've had me do inventory at 3 stores this week. Yesterday, I didn't get out of bed till 4 p.m. because I have just been running all week with all this coaching in the toy store. But And I talked to the woman at Leslie Kahn. I had thought about telling them no back in the fall because I just thought, I don't have this fancy, nice setup that I want to have, and I'm not going to be able to do, I just feel overwhelmed. And now I'm just like, yes, and it doesn't have to be perfect. And even on the set for this thing, I was like, this is the first IMDb credit I'm going to get as a dialect coach, because everything else I've done is helping people book the role in the, as an auditioner, or it's somebody who's come to me, their agent has paid for the coaching, or the actor has paid after they've gotten the role, but it's not the production company hiring me. So I thought, what if someone sees this and they think, oh, that accent is horrible? Because honestly, some of the takes, he sounded spot on, and he's Nigerian, and some of them sounded like a really bad impression of Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid. And so I was like, I'm going to be judged. People are going to know. And I finally was like, no, this is a great opportunity, and I'm learning what I will. And one thing I don't, being on set is not that huge of a deal. Really, the actor should be way prepared way before that. And if I need to be on set, that means they aren't prepared for this. So I'm learning that I can be the expert and say, this is how this works. And I don't have to credentialize and say, look, I don't have this doctorate in theater, so I'm not as good as this. Anyway, I just don't need to keep blabbing, but I'm feeling more settled in who I am with the yes and. Thank you.
Okay. Just so I don't forget, you might want to put a little thing on your website somewhere, but I just watched the most recent Hollywood Reporter Roundtable with the actors. Mm. So it was Adam Sandler, Colin Farrell, Brendan Fraser, Austin Butler, I keep forgetting how to pronounce his name, the one who just won the Golden Globe for Everywhere, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Ki Hu Kwan. I think that's it. Ki and Austin both were talking about preparing before they got the roles for Elvis and for, and he played in that movie, Ki played four characters. He's like, I hired a movement coach. I hired a dialect. I hired a, you know, a this and a this. Both of them invested in these coaches. So it might be interesting just to have that video with a link and say, you know, just this year, both of these actors who are up for major awards, you know, in this video, you'll hear all the coaches that they hired to prepare just for the audition part of the role. Like before they got on set, all of this training. So that, and, you know, voice coach included, but it's just sort of like, for those people aspiring to that level, it's like, yeah. This is what you do. You hire me, you hire one of me. So,
and you said that was Hollywood Reporter.
It's the Hollywood Reporter.
Okay, I'll look for that.
The Actors Roundtable. It's on YouTube. I have another question for you. Now, having gone through these experiences that you just went through, what is your feeling? What is your relationship to your rates for 2023? I'm not talking about whether you're going to raise them. I'm just saying, what is your relationship to asking
for? I feel like I can own it and say, I have this level of expertise and I know how to tailor things. And if you don't want to pay my rate, fine. I have other things I can do. And I think that's been what I've wanted to say, but it's also been like, if I need money, I have to go work at the stupid toy store. And so, but now I'd rather just do the toy store job and forget this thing that's going to be a headache that's going to pay more, but it's dialect coaching, but they're going to be obnoxious and not want to pay my rate. I don't know. So I feel like I've let go of some things.
This is you have, I can hear it. I can feel it. But this is an important point for everyone. When you are trying to establish yourself in a field and you've decided this is the rate I need, this is the rate that's good in the marketplace, it's fine in the marketplace, it's commensurate with my ability and training. It's not too much and it's not too little. This is the rate that comes out of my mouth with confidence. It is far better to hold to those rates and go do whatever else you need to do to supplement your income than to waffle and dicker, and everybody has a different rate and you're always making discounts and compromises and whatnot. A, that's a lot of admin work. B, it chips away at your spirit. And C, it's not building the reputation of like, no, I'm going to figure out how to get clients for this rate instead of me keep adjusting for everything that comes my way. When you're first starting out, sure, do whatever you want, experiment, do things for really, really cheap to get some good testimonials. You're not at that point. This is advice for people at your level, established and experienced. Hold your rate and go work at the toy store. There's no shame in doing that. It's like, no, no, no. This is about everything feeding into your focus. Your hours at the toy store is feeding you as a voice coach, an artist, because you're able to hold steady there. That's what the toy store is for. You know what I mean? When you connect what you're doing over here with a story that doesn't shame you, like, oh, look, I can't hack it. I'm working at the toy. No, no. It's like, no, no. I am building this business at this rate and I'm holding out for it. You know?
Yeah. Thank you. And I think the toy store has really helped me. It's paying half what I got at another job I had last summer, but mm-hmm. I don't bring home any drama or any.
You're not going to save
figure me. Out save I'm toy just store. There and then I'm not there.
Yeah. You don't have to save the store.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So your question was very interestingly worded. How do I convince an acting studio that I'm worth my quoted rate? They said everyone is having a hard time paying high rates due to COVID, but inflation has gone up since I last taught there, and I'm doing more of the work as I'm having to handle tech as I teach from home. The word convince, I really don't think, this is just in general for everyone, I really don't think you can convince anybody of anything. They convince themselves. You might paint a picture for them of reasons that might influence what they then start to tell themselves, but it's what they tell themselves that will convince them. You don't really have that power. Like, there's no magic words that will flip the switch in their head. So the leverage you have in a, when anyone comes to me and they're like, should I raise my rates or how do I convince, do I hold firm at this rate? It's always come always first. We have to look at the leverage, meaning, are you willing to walk away? Like, what's the baseline amount that you would do this for and feel good about it? Because that's the other thing about working at the toy store and holding firm to your rates is then when you get clients for your voice work, you feel great about it and you do it and people see you loving your work and then they want to work with you more. When you're capitulating and it's like, oh, now I'm just not getting enough for the amount of work I'm doing, it just seeps into your essence that you're giving out. Even if you're faking it, people can smell it, even if they can't identify it. So in light of all this, what do you think your approach is going to be for? Because I understand the studio going, people aren't, they want to make money by having you teach this class, but they're afraid if you charge this much, people won't sign up. And they won't make money. So yeah. What are your feelings?
Well, I had that conversation last week with her and then she's supposed to get back to me today. I went online and looked at an inflation calculator and put in the amount that I charged 3 years ago and it shows that I should be charging a bit more. And then this class will be 4 or 5 weeks compared to the 3 weeks that I had before. Mm-hmm. And also, last time we did a 70-30 split where I got 70% and they got 30. And she said, I can talk with Leslie about that, but it's going to be, we've been going closer to 60-40 or 50-50 this last little while. And I'm like, that's, I'm doing more of the work. You're not providing me a space to teach. Yes, you're helping me by dealing with the registration and payment from students, but I don't know. I just kind of, I guess I'll wait and see what she says today. So, but I just kind of want to be prepared to say, to know what to do. And I mean, I guess I can walk away. I feel like it's always a great opportunity to teach there, but I just was like 50-50 for me to teach online.
Yeah. And it's always a balance of, okay, what am I getting from just the opportunity? And there are things you would get from just kind of doing it for whatever they wanted you to do it for. And then that is then balanced against, but what do I need to really want to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, and when you're starting out in a business, of course, the opportunities themselves are more valuable for exposure, for networking, for all that. But there does get to a point in your business where it's like those lose their value because you're getting people kind of on a regular, you know, other avenues, you're getting other opportunities. So, and that is a individual call. It's not a moral thing. I've been in business 3 years. I should be at this level. Who knows? Lots of variables. But what you don't want to do is get to the point where, yeah, you are at the point where you probably should switch and then you don't. Because that's what eats away at you and makes you resentful that you're not getting what you want. Mm-hmm. Better take that time and go get clients that will pay you full freight. You know what I mean? So what is your baseline? Like what is, you have to decide before she comes back to you with her negotiation, like what's your deal breakers? On the ratio split, what's your deal breaker? Meaning what's the minimum? Would you do 60-40? Would you do you need 70-30? Like what's your deal breaker?
When we were negotiating this 3 years ago, I suggested 75-25 and then we ended up on 70-30. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I want to stick with the 70-30. Maybe if they are willing to do my rate I proposed that's higher, than I could do 65-35. But if they want me to go lower on the rate and give them a higher percentage, I just can't do that.
And what's the rate you want?
Well, I had originally said 400 for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at 400 for 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's 15 hours of instruction for 400.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually less per hour per student than what I charged 3 years ago. So, because 3 years ago it was,
right? Because it was only
250 for 3 weeks, and there was an early bird special of 225. If you, and it sold out in 24 hours, so everyone got the early bird for 225.
Okay. So if you're going to charge 400 for 5 weeks, no early bird, nothing.
Mm-mm.
No. And then is there, so let's say you decided, okay, if it's a 70-30 split, I like how you're like, I'll do it for this price if it's this ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Or still do it for this price if it's this ratio. So if they want, you originally, for 5 weeks would want $500, correct?
Well, we originally talked about a 4 week class and then she suggested, let's do May. And May, there were five.
Yeah, but why don't you just do Tuesdays. 4 weeks in May?
So I could do 4 weeks. I told her that'd be fine. So I would do, I had originally said 4 weeks for 400 and they said, no, that's too much. And then when I looked at it with inflation, I was like, I could do 350 for 4 weeks. That's the lowest I can go.
Uh-huh. Okay. but 350 at a 70-30 split.
Yeah.
And then 400
for the five weeks.
No. We're talking about 4 weeks. You would prefer I said 4 weeks at $400.
I would, but I sent that to them before the holidays and they said, this is too high, but we'll talk about it later. And so the talking about it later was last week. And so I think they're saying that was too much. So, okay.
So my question to you is if you agree to do it at 350 for 4 weeks, would you have to have the 70-30 on that?
I'd like to. I'll look on my calculator real quick.
That would be 245 for you. Because if you do 350 at 65, you're getting 227.
I don't know. What do you think about this rate?
Well, I think if you're compromising on the rate and going down to 350, I really don't see the, if you did a 70-30 split before, I don't see why that should change.
I don't either. Yeah. It was an in-person class before.
Yeah. So I would hold firm on that.
Okay.
Be like, okay, I understand. You think the optics of 400 is too high. I'd be willing to do 350 for 4 weeks at a 70-30 split. Like, that's it. That's your deal.
Okay.
You have come down to that already. So it's not like, well, let's work. No. That's it. And then because anything would be less for you. If you went to a 65-40-35 ratio, that's less for you. If you bring the price down even further, that's less for you. Mm-hmm. It has to be a time where you're just like, I'd rather spend my 4 weeks doing something else.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then the other factor in this is how many butts do need to be in the chairs for this class to be a go? Are you going to do this for three people?
Well, like, I told her I could do, my ideal would be 10, but if it filled up super fast, we could stretch it to 12. Uh-huh. But she's like, well, would you be willing to do it for one or two? And I was like,
yeah. So have to have a deal breaker. I hope everyone's listening to this. So there's a deal breaker on the price. And the price has to do with how many weeks. There's a deal breaker on the ratio that she has to how much she has to give back to the studio. But there's also a deal breaker on the amount of students in the seats to make this worthwhile. Because if you only have two people in the seats, you're making like nothing. So
yeah,
what's your meaning? If there's only eight people who register, we're not doing this class. We're only doing this class if 10 people register. That is also something where it's like it behooves them to then market if they want to get their money, since this is only something you're doing for their students. Because anything less than 10, you're not earning enough money for all the time you're putting into it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, because you compromised on the price.
Okay.
So you need to be guaranteed 10 students worth of this, and you're willing to go up to 12.
Yeah, I think I could do 8, but that's the minimum I would do.
Okay, so, and you, by the way, in all of these negotiations, for everybody listening, don't tell them up front, I'll go down to 8. You say, I'd like 10 to be the deal breaker for whether this class actually goes forward. Let them go, wow, boop, boop, boop. And then if they, because they might go fine, great. And then if they come back to you and go, well, there's only 8, you can then go, oh, well, I'll do it anyway. You're so benevolent. Or in the negotiation process, they might go, well, 10, I don't know. What about 8? Okay. And then it sounds like you capitulated to them when in fact, in your head, you were okay with 8. Mm. That's why it's important for you to decide in advance where you're drawing a line. So you're not drawing that line in the actual negotiation call and then you're busy with your calculator and then you freak out and then you, after the call is over and the deal is done, you're like, oh, I don't like that deal.
Okay.
So you have your deal breakers and you don't need to say them all at the front. Parse them out as they come up in the conversation and you don't do any deal. You have to be willing at some point to walk away or else you have zero leverage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
thank you. I hadn't thought about that because last time the class sold out in 24 hours. So I hadn't thought about what if it doesn't this time and what's my minimum number of people. So that's a good thing to consider.
Yeah, because you don't want them going, there's 4.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? You don't want to have that conversation when they've already told the students it's a go. Like, that's the conversation you have up front.
Okay.
And for everyone listening, this is not about Liz going in with any sort of energy that's threatening. Well, it needs to have 10 people. No, it's very calm. That's what leverage gives you. It's just like, well, I'll need 10 students or else it's just not worth my while for this reduced price. It's just a statement of fact. Everyone needs to practice their neutral voices, just neutral tone, just blah, blah, blah. It's not threatening. It's they have choices to make and you're presenting them with the choices and they're giving you choices. We want you to do it for this price, take it or leave it kind of thing. It's like, okay, well, I might leave it. Yeah. So it's just business.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like before I was so, and even just them being like, we need your Instagram handle and we need your headshot. I haven't had headshot in years. I've just been doing voiceover. I need to, and I need to get on Instagram as a dialect coach. I haven't done that, but I'm just sort of like, everything's not set up perfectly. And now I'm just sort of like, I'm where I am. It's a work in progress. Do you want me where I'm at?
a little trick with, if you're like, oh my God, I don't have a headshot, but I need a headshot. If you have a good Zoom setup, you can take screenshots. Like you can just videotape yourself and then pull screenshots from there. You can also turn pictures black and white. Mm. Black and white is more forgiving of backgrounds and everything. So you could even have someone take your picture outside and then turn it into a black and white picture. Because black and white photography isn't like, especially like for headshots, it's not in vogue. It's not what we're used to. Then it seems purposeful when you choose to do black and white. So, cause you're a high class woman. So yeah. So, and then as far as Instagram goes, get a handle, open it up, and you don't have to do anything with it. And if you want to do the minimum 9 tiles, just do 9 tiles. That's a full screen if someone happens to be going to your Instagram page. And the 9 tiles, it's like your website. Tell people your philosophy, tell them what you do, tell them who you've worked with. So that if I'm reading those 9 tiles in the captions, I get a pretty good, oh, she's worked with lots of people. She's the real deal. There's nothing that makes me think she's crazy. Make the 9 tiles look cohesively semi-attractive and then leave them there.
Okay.
The thing about Instagram is there's 2 parts to it. There's putting stuff out on a regular basis with the hopes that they will show it in the feeds of people who have decided to follow you. And same with the Instagram stories. It's like those people are just scrolling on their phones and you pop up and whatever. Then there's the Instagram built for people who are legitimately going to check you out on Instagram. They're actually going to your Instagram page. Well, if you're not really going to use Instagram to like communicate all the time with people, then just set it up with 9 tiles like it's a website.
Okay.
And just let it sit there. And then people will come and visit it and go, oh, this is who she is. They're not going to be like, well, she's not active on Instagram. No, because I'm on set doing voice work. And you can even have a tile that goes, why am I not here? Yeah, I mean, I'm always working with clients. I'm always doing my own voice work and I'm usually on set. So I just don't hang out on Instagram very much, but hopefully you can look around what's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Put your website link in the thing. You're good to go. Don't make it a big deal.
Okay.
But
I have these ideas of what I'd like to do. It's just, sure. I've just
do those later.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
9 tiles, your handle, then just give it to them when you're ready. Like just make it your goal. I'll have those 9 tiles in my Instagram set up before this thing starts. Great. That's a nice deadline. If you decide to do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. I'm very excited for you. You really have turned a corner.
Yeah.
Amazing. We have some time left. Stephen has his hand up. Does anybody else have a question? If you do, put your hand up so I will know. Stephen.
Elizabeth, awesome. You're wrapping it out. That's really, really awesome. It's a lot of work and you're doing great. Christine, just a quick question. You said 9 tiles Instagram. I thought I was understanding it. Now I think I'm not understanding. What are the 9 tiles?
Oh, just like the 9 squares. Like 9 posts, which gives you a nice little symmetrical tic-tac-toe board when someone comes to your Instagram page.
Got it. Okay.
That's what I mean. 9 posts.
9 posts. Got it.
It could be videos or just static mix, whatever. Yeah, that's what I meant. Good clarification. Trisha.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Thanks, everybody, for all of your work in this class and just for sharing your journeys. It's so helpful for me to hear. I'm almost a little embarrassed to bring this today because it's one of those things that like kind of came to me as I was falling asleep and I was excited about it. But then in the light of day, I was like, that is so dumb. I love creating characters and I've done like a couple one woman shows playing a bunch of different characters a la Sarah Jones. And I have been a little quiet with it in recent years because of like cancel culture and the feeling of like, oh, if it's not your ethnicity or whatever, like your background, you do not get to play that character. I grew up in Queens around a lot of people, a lot of ethnicities. And so I feel like I can embody those with respect and authenticity, but I did get like pushback from my own sister of all people, you know, a couple of years ago. And so that's felt like, ooh, you know, maybe I should just be quiet for a bit. And then recently my sister-in-law said, hey, for Peter's birthday, Peter's my nephew, we're asking for videos from everybody, just like a happy birthday video. So I put a wig on. And something I think about, you know, it just being like a video for my 16-year-old nephew. I just created a character on the spot and I had so much fun with it. And, you know, my nephew was like, oh my God, I laughed the whole way through. It was just so gratifying. So then, you know, months later, I posted it on social media and people were like, this is hysterical. I want, her name is Nilda. I want a Nilda video. So I was looking at my numbers for the past month and I'm in the hole by like $1,100 for January already. And I, you know, I booked a commercial last year. So I have like 3 or 4 months worth of expenses aside. So I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But because I'm paying attention to my numbers for the first time in a long time, I'm like, oh, wow, the reality of things is I don't have enough money coming in right now. And because so many people were like, I'd like a Nilda video and whatever, you know, just offhandedly in the comments, like, my birthday's coming up, I want a Nilda video. I was like, what if I were to like put that up on my Facebook page, like the first five people who respond or whatever, but like charge for it. And I don't know if that's icky. I don't know, but like, I kind of like the idea excited me because I don't know, there's just like certain things that came to me as I was doing the character that I was like, oh, there's a lot of potential for this. Like my mom was a religion teacher and she used to always like quote the Bible. So Nilda's like quoting the Bible, but like in a completely wrong way, you know, she's getting it all wrong. She's completely like, you know, offensive and she doesn't know it. So I don't know. It got me really excited, but it also I'm terrified. And also I wouldn't know what to charge. Like the idea of like $25 came to my head, but then I was like, was that way too little? Like, I just wanted to throw it out there and then hide in shame.
Well, I want to commend your bravery because I'm sure every single person listening to this can be like, oh yeah, those kind of ideas where you're like, ah, the stupid isn't good. I don't know. And then the light of day, you're like, what was I thinking? Cause I thought it was great last night. Like totally get it. But it's great because bringing those kind of ideas to a forum like this, where you can have other people hear them and comment in the chat about their feelings, it's the way to feel it out in a safe space. And sometimes the idea isn't the idea, but the idea leads to the idea, you know. So I love ideas in any form. And so first question, there's no like cultural worry about Nilda?
No, she's Southern, but I don't, for whatever reason, worry about offending Southerners.
And I think we just live in a certain time, and certain people, for various reasons, are granted more leeway than other people. And right now, you're not granted a lot of leeway. But you still have all of whiteness to play around with, you know, like, so and there's lots in there. And it sounds like you really have come up with something that's funny. And I think that this is worth experimenting with. And I wouldn't worry about putting any kind of financial burden on it. Like it needs to become a thing, but you can experiment with, would people pay me $25 to do one of these videos? Because why not? And there is a big difference, as every single person who goes in and decides to start their own source of cash flow, there is a huge difference between someone going, that's a really great idea, you should totally do it, and, well, I'm not going to pay you for it. That always a difference. And so many people go forward with business ideas, and I'm like, yeah, but I know they said they were interested, but they're not going to buy it. So try. Because what's the worst case scenario? No one buys. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do it, or you could do it just for fun, or some people give you money and then you make a video. Like, no one's going to notice this. No one's going to be like, so how many of those did you sell? Like, it's just not going to enter anyone's consciousness at this point. But there are several actresses on like TikTok and Instagram who just do videos of them doing little characters.
Yes. Yeah. I follow a lot of them. Yeah.
And it's like, there is no harm or barrier to you entering that stream.
Yeah.
You know, for fun.
Yeah. I liked too that it was like, because it was a birthday message to my nephew, a lot of people were like, oh, my daughter's birthday's coming up or my birthday's coming up. So to me, I thought, well, then I'll keep it focused on that. If you have somebody you want to give a message to, let Nilda talk to your loved one. And that just made it kind of fun for me. I don't know if I, you know, this is, that feels, as I'm saying it, it feels manipulative, but I've had some like health stuff recently that I shared about on Facebook. And so there's a possibility of being like, I have these bills that I have to cover. And this is a way I thought of doing that, but that maybe feels a little bit like, feel sorry for me. And I don't know.
Okay. I have two things to say about that. That's a really interesting point. I'm kind of glad you brought it up. The first thing is it's unnecessary to do that. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons. First reason, I actually don't think it will move people in their buying decision. Like, oh, I'll get a video and help her with her thing. I don't think that's how people do it. Like, if you need a GoFundMe, like the people will give to that. But something like, if they're going to buy something from you, they are motivated because they want it.
Yeah.
Not right. Because they're helping you with the thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a company that's like, we give something percent of our stuff to this charity. I'm like, I don't care what you do with your money. I'm caring if you deliver me the service, you can do whatever you want. But that's not how I make my buying decisions.
Right.
I guess if I had two companies and one of them seemed more charitable, I'm maybe, but I'm mostly going on like, do I like it? Do I want it? So I don't even think that's going to help. And then you're sort of like, especially it won't help if you're not like super in alignment with it.
Yeah.
GoFundMes help sometimes. There's variables, but GoFundMes help because the people posting them are in perfect alignment with the need for the money.
Yeah.
It lines up. But the more important reason of why I would not suggest you do that is because I think all people, people raised female especially, need to learn that you do not have to justify your wants, your desires, your choices for how you want to do something. And building the muscle of, I do not need to justify why I want to do this or not want to do this or how I'm doing it. You just do it. It's the whole no is a complete sentence. And then cutting out, and you have to practice that.
Yeah.
So it would be better for you not only to do the experiment with these videos, but also at the same time, be practicing. I'm just doing this because I want to do it. People don't need to know why. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to practice not justifying it. Well, I did the thing for my thing. And then I thought it would do you want a video? It's $25.
Yeah.
And I think that I would sort of do this and you could do it for a whole year. You don't have to like stop it whenever you're like, I'm over it. But you would put out a few videos. Let's take February. You'd put out a few videos starting in early February of like, don't know what to say to your lovebird on Valentine's Day. I've got you covered. I will help you with those words, you know, however you do it. The Lord will speak through me and have the, you know, if there's something you want to say, if you need to break up, let me do it for you. Like all around Valentine's Day.
That's great.
And then pick another. And it doesn't have to be a calendar holiday, but it could be something that's happening in the zeitgeist or whatever, you know? So if there was another election, it's like, is your uncle not, you know, going the way you want to? Well, let's do the video. I'll tell him the right, you know, that kind of thing. Mother's Day, Father's Day, like all these little things.
That's great.
And your job is to have Nilda tell people how to use her. That's your job. Put the ideas in their head. I can do the, like Valentine's Day, you could come up with 14 different ways that they could use you on that day.
Great.
You can give, one of your little videos could be, don't want to pay me to do it, although you're out of your mind because I'm a professional, obviously. But if you wanted to do it yourself, let me give you some advice. Here's the top three things of how to break up with your person. Don't do it on Valentine's Day. Do it. That's what the day after. That's what February 15th is for, you know, or save yourself some money and do it on the 13th, you know.
Yeah.
But like, you can have fun with this and you can give people ideas. That if you just said, I could do a Valentine's Day video, you're leaving it up to them to kind of go, do I need it? Do I want? But if you say something, it could spark something like, oh my God, I want, this is going to be so funny. I want her to do it. And you can say, you may have 14 girlfriends that you want to wish, you know, that are so unfortunate not to be married yet. And you want to send them a little love on Valentine's Day. Just buy one $25 video for me. Send it all 14. They won't know. I'll just make it general. Like, tell people how to use this service. But I think that's hilarious. And the most important part of it is you're playing. We forget as adults that we need to play. And then we forget, like, what does play feel like? And it's using your gifts to entertain with your marketing for this, these videos. And that's the thing. It's sort of like someone says, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be an actor. I want to be a coach. It's like, okay, well then if you want to be an actor, entertain me. When was the last time you entertained me? You just sit around telling me how you want to get booked on something, but when was the last time you entertained me? It's like when I'm not working with a coaching client, I do a lot of coaching. I want to coach. I want to be a coach. I want to be paid to coach. So I do coaching. There's a lot of free stuff that's out there that I create, because it's like you have to actively do it even before you're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And the marketing for anything, your business, we're just going to call it a little business, your little biz, well, Nilda's business, really, pop money. I just want change. No, girl has needs. Girl doesn't want to be caught that temptation zone they put at the supermarket where there's like, you could buy this and not have a little pocket change. The Lord doesn't want that. Like, make it a joke. Make it fun for people to give her the money. And of course I tithe every once in a while. Don't worry, your money's going to good things. Keeping me happy is a good, Lord wants me to be happy. That's a good reason. You know, like, just have fun. But the more you allow yourself for this to be fun, and the more your marketing is also entertaining, it moves away from just like, hey, give me money. Hey, I have bills to pay. Hey, it's like, that's not fun.
Yes.
And that's another thing. If you were selling accounting services, you could certainly say, oh, I'm doing a sale. I'm taking new clients. I need, you know, something happened where I'm just, here's my reason for doing this. Sure, sure, sure. And that aligns. It's like, I do a boring service. I have a boring reason for doing it, but it's out of alignment for, let me do this really fun thing because I've got this really horrible thing. It's like, no, won't work. Won't work. Yeah. But see. And here's the thing is, I'm a big believer that we have to give the universe or whatever you want to call the higher powers that be things to work with. Mm. We can't just sit there and go, oh, I want this. It's like you putting something like this out in the world gives something people can share with, something people could notice, something that could spark an idea for someone else, someone who comes to you and go, do you do other characters? Like, do you want to be in this thing? Like, you don't know, and it's none of your business, but you're giving the universe something to work with. And what I do like about this little tiny, tiny idea, this isn't a rent money idea. I mean, it might, we don't know, but right now it's not a rent money idea. But what I love about it, and I love that you're charging for your work, but what I love about it is it checks so many boxes. You're working on your craft, you're playing, you might be earning some money, you're spreading joy to people. It, is you're creating asset. You could get noticed for any of these assets. Once you put it on the internet, it kind of lives out there. Who knows? Like, checks a lot of boxes, which means you're not wasting your time. And because you are leading other artists, so it behooves you to lead by example of like, I'm being artistic.
Yeah. It came to me because I was reading Atomic Habits. Thank you. And in Atomic Habits, he was saying like, what do you uniquely bring? You know, where are your gifts and where can they intersect in a way that, you know, is unique to you? And I thought, oh yeah, like I'm often trying to like find out how can I get cast on this TV show or how can I be this type or whatever. But the thing I uniquely do is I'm good at creating characters and I'm good at extemporaneously coming up with whatever, you know, kind of funny lines or whatever. So I feel like it's a fun intersection of those things.
So here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that you go through the next 11 months of the year, February, obviously Valentine's Day. Any month that doesn't have something obviously in it, you can talk about birthdays. You can talk about just in general, birthday. Who has a birthday this month? All you little Pisces out there swimming in the sea. Although I do not believe in astrology. I think you go to like, you know, so you can do birthdays, anniversaries, you know, the grieving. Has it been 5 years and they just, has it been 20 years since they're dead and they just haven't moved on yet? Maybe we could give them a little nudge. Like you pick a time frame that's like so, but all of that stuff you can fill in on the other months. And then, you know, Nilda's going to get sick every once in a while. Nilda or is going to have to go and like do something weird in another state. So she needs her friends to come fill in for her. So then you can have her friend go, okay, I'm so sorry, everybody. I know it's April. I know you're expecting, but she couldn't make it today, but I can do a video for you. Like, you know, just you have fun with her. And then it could be this whole world where as people are watching the content you put out every month, little, these are little tiny things, but they're like, oh yeah. So Nilda has a sister. She has this really funky cousin with one eye or lazy eye. Like then all of a sudden she has this whole world and people are just following the marketing to follow the little expansion of Nilda's world and her universe.
Yeah, like that.
And it's fun. And maybe some people will pay you to do videos. Yeah, you don't know, but that's not your business. So what if you just tried it for a year and you did it for, you set it up for a year and then just do it till you're over it.
Yeah.
And then stop and no one will notice.
Great.
It'll be fine.
Do you think I should say like direct message me if you're interested or so people don't have to write in the comments or how, if I'm putting it up on Facebook and Instagram.
Uh-huh. Does Facebook have like a direct message thing too?
Well,
it should definitely be a direct message.
Okay.
You don't need to be like looking through the comments for people to be like, I kind of want to sort. It's like, no, like it's business.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And then, you know, maybe you have a new Gmail for her or whatever, make it easy. It's only $25. This should be the simplest, like, and pick the easiest payment for you, Zelle. So you get all the money, not PayPal. It's like, sorry, I only take Zelle payments. Trust me. If they want it, they'll do it. They'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. When it's that low, it's just like, this has to be so easy and seamless.
Great.
And look into either a free Google form or WooFoo also has free forms because they're going to need to fill out what's the information you want in the video, what's pertinent, like fill it out. So maybe you do a little one page that's hidden on your website. So only people who, you know, you give the URL to will know. And it says, here's the link to pay. Here's the form to fill out. Here's, tell me when you need the video. And then how do you deliver it? So that it will it just be posted? It should just be posted on the where they have a link to then see it, right? On your social media or whatever. Hmm. Can I use it? Can I post it? Or do you want it private? Like, you know.
That's good.
So figure out the logistics and make them as easy for you as possible. And like, I know for sure, because I use WooFoo forms, when someone fills it out, it's just delivered to my inbox.
Okay, great.
You see it right there.
Great.
WUFOO.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I think that sounds like super fun.
Thanks, Christine. Mm-hmm.
And I would post the video you did for your relative so people can see. Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yay. That is it, guys. Hi, Cricket. Good to see you. All right. Next Sunday, I believe we will meet again for more questions. Have a great week. Take care,
Christine,
guys.
Christine, I just wanted to say real quick that I got my first client.
Tell me. Now I need to know.
Okay. She's a friend and I'll be back next week with more questions, but I just realized that this was happening right now because I never can come on Mondays. And I was like, I have to go tell Christine. But she's a longtime friend, more of a friend of a friend. She made a feature film. So I'm going to be able to charge even more. And she came to that Ask Me Anything that I did in December and brought friends. And she had actually talked to one of my competitors in the interim and came back to me. And when I said what I would charge, she didn't even blink an eye. She said, I think that sounds fair.
And why did she come back to you? Do you know? Did she say anything?
She said that she didn't get a vibe from the other person. And by the way, this other person is someone that I do not get a good vibe from. And I've been watching her work on Instagram and I am not impressed. And it helped me kind of identify more of like how I am different from her. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it for my friend was, this woman's not a filmmaker. She doesn't know film. She got a PhD in marketing. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't understand film. So she can't really relate to filmmakers and their art and their passion. And I was like, oh, well, I got that. So.
Yeah. And so you play that up. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you come to me, mm-hmm. we can market and play up your strengths. If she came to me, we would find reasons why her degree in marketing mm-hmm. is like why people need to have that instead.
Exactly.
Oh, but she has an outside eye, so she's not tangled up and she can think outside the box. Like, you know, it's not good or bad, but it is very important, like you said, to be like knowing how you differentiate yourself from the other people out there doing it. So people can more clearly identify, this is what you get with me.
Right.
What did I say? It is going to be your vibe. That is going to be a big part of this thing. You're just mama bear, lovey energy matched with your like incisive intellect. It's a juicy combination. And I hope that you take her as a sign that combination mm-hmm. will be noticed.
And I also think it will be noticed. She is a professional actress. You wouldn't know her name, but she is friends with tons of people who are making work in the same way. And she's already submitted her previous films to Crappy Crap Festival. So she knows, she's the kind of client I want to have. The person who's willing to pay me for what they know is necessary labor and information.
Right. Right. And then what you get from her is, oh my God, this is what I did with my first film. And this is what I did with the second film. And this is how Cricket made all the difference. And this is why I don't, and I'm writing this because I don't want you to waste any time.
Yeah.
Be professional. Start being professional from your first film.
That's great. That's great. Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Congratulations. I'm
Thank
so glad.
Thank you so much. Thanks for staying
Stop
late.
The train. And that was worth it. Totally. Totally. Okay.
I'm sure I'll have more questions with our next session. But anyway, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
So much good stuff. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.